Let's talk about finance. So, for this problem set, you ultimately want to implement most of the functionality for a basic website that allows you to look up, buy, and sell stocks. So, first thing we want to implement is register. Now, for register, we want to ultimately allow us to register a new user in our system. So we see that when we visit the register page, when we just go to /register, hit enter, that now we go to register.html. Now in here, we see that we have a form, and there are multiple elements to this form, where one of the elements has the name username, and another one of the text inputs has the name password. Another has the name confirmation. And so ultimately, what this all looks like is, go to register, and it looks like this. So here's our form with the three text inputs. So what happens when we submit this form? Well, we're ultimately submitting back to register, but now it's submitting as a post request. So back in application.py, if we are reaching register via a post request, now here, notice we are looking at the request, accessing the elements that were submitted with that form. So request.form.get username is ultimately returning exactly what the user entered for this username text field. So if not request.form.get username, that means that the user happened to not enter anything for their username, in which case we want to apologize, missing username. Similarly, we want to do the same thing for password. If they didn't enter a password, we want to say that they're missing a password. Now, we also want to make sure that the password matches the confirmation. If that's not the case, we apologize, saying the passwords don't match. Now, assuming that all of these inputs were valid, we can continue with registering the user. So first thing we want to do is encrypt the password. We never want to store a raw password in our database. We always want to encrypt it first. So we encrypt it and we ultimately get our hash. And now we use db.execute to insert into our table. Remember that our table looks like this. So we have four columns. The first is ID, that will automatically be inserted for us. The second is username, the third is hash, and the fourth is cache. So here we are inserting into users, username, comma, hash, because there will be a default amount for cache. So insert into users, username, comma, hash, the values username, where username is from our form. We ultimately set username equal to our form input for username. And we have our hash equal to the hash input that we generated up here. So this will execute a SQL query that inserts this row into our users table. This returns the ID of the user that was inserted into the table. So if not ID, that means that we failed to insert into the table. Why might that happen? Because the username is supposed to be unique. And so if the username that the user inputted was already in the table, then there will not be a new ID for that row. In which case we apologize saying that username is already taken. Now, assuming that the username was not taken, then we can remember this user ID inside of our session. So throughout the application, we always have access to session user ID. Now, at this point, they've successfully registered, so we can flash on the screen that they've registered and then send them to the main index.html. Okay, so that's it for register. Now, the second thing that you have to implement is quote. So there are two aspects to quote. First, you need to have a form for which in which the user can input the stock symbol that they want to look up. And then you need to submit that form and present a new page that you show the information for that stock symbol. So the first page, I will register a user. This sends me to index. Now the first page will look like this for quote. I'll enter a stock symbol, GOG. Then this ultimately submits and shows me a second page where it shows me the information about GOOG, Google. So how do we implement this? Well, let's look at our quote method. So here we see that when we reach quote, we can reach it again as either a get request or a post request. So if it's a get request, then we just render quote.html. So that's that first page we reach that we just want to enter the stock symbol. In our case, quote.html happens to look like this, where we just have a single text input and we happen to name it symbol. So when we submit, we're ultimately submitting a post request back to quote, which means back in application.py, when we hit submit on that quote.html form, we'll come back here. This time the request.method will be post, in which case we execute this code. And now the name of the text input was symbol, and so we're ultimately checking request.form.get symbol. So if that was not set, then the user did not appropriately enter a symbol, in which case we apologize, missing symbol. And assuming that they did appropriately enter a symbol, then we're going to use the lookup function to look up that symbol. So we'll look up the symbol, that will return a quote. If the quote is a false value, that means that the symbol was not valid. And assuming it was valid, then we ultimately can render quoted.html passing in our quote. So what does quoted.html look like? We see that this template ultimately takes quote and just prints out all the information from it. So a share of quote.name, quote.symbol, costs quote.price, and remember that we supplied the USD helper function, so that quote.price pipe into USD ultimately formats it as a nicely $123.45. So this is all quote it does is prints the information it from our quote. All right, that's it for quote. Now let's look at by. So this is the first time that we actually have to change our database tables. So looking at what we did, it's totally fine if you did something different. But in our case, we have a transactions table that happens to look something like this. So we have six columns. The first is ID. Again, that will automatically be inserted for us. The second is user ID. So this is the user ID of the users from the users table of the user who happens to be performing the transaction, in this case, a buy. The symbol that they're buying, the number of shares that they're buying of that symbol, the price of a share of that symbol at the time that we happen to be performing the purchase, and finally, a timestamp for when that transaction happened to occur. So given this table, how are we implementing by? So in application.py, we see our by function. And for our by function, once again, we either reach it via a get request or a post request. If it is a get request, we will just render by.html. What does by.html look like? It looks like this. So you're starting to see the pattern. So it looks like a form where we have an input that has name symbol, we have another input with the name shares, and we have a final input and then just the submit button. So what does this look like in HTML? It just looks like this. We have two text inputs. Okay. So what happens when we submit this form? Well, we'll submit a post request back to by, in which case now we'll hit this code. So what do we do? First thing, we have to validate the user's input. So if they did not enter a symbol, we need to complain. If they did not enter shares, we need to complain. If they did not enter shares as an appropriate integer, then we have to complain. Assuming that all of that information is correct, then first thing we want to do is convert our shares from a string representation to an integer representation. Second thing is we want to look up the current quote for that symbol. So if they're trying to buy GOG, Google, then we want to look up the current price of Google so that we can appropriately see how much it will cost for them to buy that many shares of Google. So look up Google, make sure that the symbol was appropriately looked up. Now, assuming that the lookup was successful, how much will this cost the user? Well, they're trying to purchase shares, and it will ultimately cost them quote price. So multiplying those is the total cost. Now we need to make sure that the user actually has that much cash. Where's the cash? Well, that's back in our users table. So we want to select cash from our users table where that user ID happens to equal the ID that's stored inside of our session. So this should return rows. Now remember that even though we only expect one row to be returned, and even though that row only should contain cash, db.execute, when we're performing a select, will always return a list of dictionaries. So in this case, it's a list of one dictionary, and that dictionary happens to only have cash inside of it, but it will always return a list of dictionaries. So if not rows, that means that no rows were returned, in which case we abort saying missing user. That would be a weird scenario where for some reason when we tried to select based on this user ID that we're logged in as, something went wrong and that user was deleted from the database. So assuming everything's okay from there, we select rows bracket zero bracket cache. So again, remember, rows is a list of dictionaries. So in this case, we only expect one row to be returned. So that row is rows bracket zero. That's the one row that was returned. And that is a dictionary that contains all of the fields that we were selecting. In this case, we were only selecting one field, and that was cache. So rows bracket zero bracket cache is the cache of the current user. Okay, so now that we have the cache, we can make sure that we actually have enough cache to perform the buy. So if cache is less than the cost, then we don't have enough cash, in which case we apologize. Assuming that we did have enough cash, now we can actually perform the transaction, in which case we want to insert into our transactions table. Now we don't need to insert the ID or the timestamp, so only the four columns are user ID, symbol, shares, and price. So those four columns, the user ID we take from our session, the symbol we take from our quote. So we don't want to use request.form.get symbol, since that symbol might be lowercase, or might be uppercase, or might be mixed case. But quote bracket symbol will be a canonical form of the symbol. So we use quote bracket symbol, the number of shares that we're purchasing, and the price at the time of purchase. And now after this line, we have successfully inserted into the transactions table, but we still need to update the user's cache. So we update users, set the cache equal to the current cache minus the amount that we're spending on the transaction. So that is cost, and we want to do that for the current user ID. So that updates the user's table. After this, we're done. We can flash that we performed the transaction, we bought those shares, and we can return them to index.html. That's it for buy. Now we come down to index. So in index, we ultimately want to display a table that summarizes all of the shares that they currently have of any stocks. So looking at our index function, we see that in this particular scenario, we don't have any post method expected. We only expect to reach index.html as a get. And so there should be no form submitting to index. Okay, so what happens when we reach index? Well, this is our main page. So in this scenario, let's say I buy one share of GOG, I buy it, it flashes bought and brings me to index. Now at index, I see that I have this nice table that happens to display that I have one share of GOOG that costs this much currently, and then I also happen to have this much money, so my total amount of money is equal to this. Okay, so that's what it should ultimately look like. And we see here that first thing we're gonna need is our cache. So I wanna display the user's cache in this table, so I need to grab that from the user's table. So select cache from users where the ID is equal to my current session ID. Now again, remember that that will always return a list of dictionaries. So if there happen to be no rows, then again, we're in that weird scenario where for some reason the current user that we're logged in as does not exist in the users table. But assuming that that's not the case, then we want to grab from the one row that was returned the cache from that row. So now we have cache. And we'll talk about what total is in a second, But the second thing we need is all of our stock symbols that we happen to have currently purchased, because we want to display here. Here we're displaying GOG. We might also display Apple, Netflix, however many symbols we happen to have. So here's what our SQL query looks like. In this case, we're selecting symbol and then some shares as shares from transactions where user ID equals user ID, group by symbol having some shares greater than zero. So what does this all mean? So this relates back to how sell will ultimately be implemented, but you have to keep in mind that it's possible that we've already sold all of our shares, in which case, when we display GOG, if shares is zero, we don't want to return that. So that's what this having some shares greater than zero is doing for us. If the sum of our shares is equal to zero, then don't return that row. So we want to select that for the current user. We want to group by the symbol. So now if I purchased one share of Google and then at some time later purchase a second share of Google, then I want to group by all things with the symbol Google and then sum those shares. So that means that the first purchase of one share grouped with that second purchase of one share, summing those shares gives us two. If I happen to have a third purchase of 10 shares, then summing those three individual rows of GOG will give me 12 shares. Okay, so this is the total number of shares across all the previous buys. And this is the particular symbol. And so we're selecting symbol, comma, some shares. And now the as keyword happens to just be a nice little shortcut for us so that after this point, when the dictionary gets returned, we can refer to it as just shares instead of needing to refer to it as some shares. So it's just an alias for some shares. Okay, so we're selecting all of that from our transactions table. The important information is that we're selecting everything from the transactions table that is for the current user, but we don't want to return every individual row of each stock. So if there are three separate times I purchased GOOG, I don't want to return three rows of GOOG. I just want to group those and sum the shares. So after that, I have stocks. Again, db.execute, since we are performing a select, it's returning a list of dictionaries. What is in any one of those dictionaries? We're going to have a field called symbol, and we're going to have a field called shares. If you didn't happen to use the as keyword, then you'd have a field called some shares. Okay, so that's stocks. Now, for each of those stocks, we want a bit more information. So looking at our index table, we see that we also happen to want the current price, and we also want the total. The total should be the product of the number of shares and the price. But that information is not in our transactions table because that information depends on the current value of that stock. So for each of the stocks that we currently happen to own, we're going to look up that stock. We are then going to include in the dictionary that was already returned. So inside of our stocks dictionary that already has the symbol, it already has the number of shares, we're going to add the full name of that stock. We're going to add the current price of that stock. And then we're also going to increment this total variable. So coming back to the total variable, looking at our index table, notice in this bottom right corner, we happen to have the sum of everything in the right column. So initially, total is just equal to cash because we have however much cash, and then we're going to want to add to the amount of cash that we have all of our stocks. So total starts as cash. For each stock that we happen to own, we're going to add the value of that stock. So stock shares times quote price is the current value of that stock, and we're adding that to our total. Now, for all of this information, so for our current cash, for all of the stocks that we happen to own, and for this total amount of money, we pass that into our render template. Now looking over at index.html, we see this is what our template looks like. So we have a table, and the table, we have a first row that has symbol, name, shares, price, total. So over here, we see that this top row has symbol, name, shares, price, total. So after that header row, we also have our footer row. So we see that our footer happens to look like this. We're taking our total variable, we're formatting it nicely as $123.45, And so what does that end up looking like? In our table, we see that the footer is over here. So notice that we have this call span equals to 4 thing. That's just to account for the fact that technically this white space is taking up 4 columns. It's taking up the column for symbol, column for name, the column for shares, the column for price, and we only want that last column to actually contain the total. So that's the header and footer. Now the body of this table contains all of our stock information. So for each stock in stocks, for each of our stocks, we just want to print that row of stocks. So we have our stock symbol, our stock name, our stock shares, our stock price, and then finally we have the total, which is the product of our stock shares and our stock price, formatted nicely as $123.45. So that's it for index. Now, the next thing we need to implement is sell. So depending on how you happen to implement buy, you might have something different. But in our case, our transactions table happens to work pretty nicely where the shares column, well, if we're purchasing shares, then it's just going to be a positive value. And if we're selling shares, then it will be a negative value. The other nice thing about this is that the way we implemented index, since we sum the shares, well, if we happen to sum some negative shares, then remember that we're only returning the rows that happen to have a positive number of shares. So if we've bought 3 shares and we've sold 3 shares, then we'll have positive 3 and negative 3. And when we sum those, we get 0. And we're only checking having greater than 0. So that row will not get returned. So looking at our sell function, we see that we're back to having a get and a post. So in the scenario of get, then we're just going to render sell.html. Sell.html is going to look like this. It's going to be a form, which happens to have one input that has that is our symbol, and another input that is the number of shares of that symbol that we happen to want to be selling. So what does that look like over here? We see that we have our 2 text fields, text inputs. Now, when we want to submit this form, we are submitting via post back to sell, which means that back in our application, we hit this code. What's the first thing we want to do? We want to validate our user input. So we check, did they appropriately enter a symbol? If they did not, then we want to print that they did not appropriately enter a symbol. Now, in this case, we happen to be capitalizing the symbol because if they happen to enter lowercase g-o-o-g, then we want to look up specifically capital g-o-o-g. Really, we could also call the lookup function to make sure that we're getting the canonical form of the symbol, but we happen to know that the canonical form is just all uppercase. Okay, so now we also want to make sure that they enter an appropriate number of shares. We want to make sure that that number of shares they input is actually a number, that they don't try to sell ABC shares. When we have ensured that they have entered a numeric value for shares, we can cast that to an int. Okay, so now we know how many shares they want to sell of what stock, but we need to make sure that they actually have that number of shares to sell. So similar to what we do inside of index, we want to select the sum of the shares, but in this particular scenario, we only want to select on that given symbol. So in index, we're just selecting all of the symbols. In this scenario, we only care about this one symbol because we only want to check to see if that one symbol happens to have enough shares. Okay, so we're selecting that one symbol for the current user. We're grouping by symbol. We're returning some shares. All of that's the same, and that's returned in rows. Now, we want to make sure that len rows equals 1. If len rows is 0, that means we don't own any of those shares. Assuming that rows is 1, then we want to access rows bracket 0 bracket shares. Remember that rows is always a list of dictionaries. So the one row that we happen to have, we want to access the shares column. And remember that the shares column is an alias for some shares. So we're accessing shares. And we want to make sure that the number of shares that we have currently purchased is greater than the number of shares that they are trying to sell. So if that is not the case, then we apologize saying that they're trying to sell too many shares. They don't have that many shares. Okay, so assuming all that's correct, now we can perform the lookup because now when we're trying to sell the stock, we want to use the current price of the stock to update the user's total amount of cash. So we look up that stock symbol. We insert into our transactions table. So basically the same exact thing we do for buy, except in this scenario, notice we are doing a negative shares. Okay, so after inserting into the transactions table, we now want to update the user's cash in the users table. So updating the user's cash, very similar to buy, except instead of subtracting the value, we're adding the value. So set cash equal to cash plus value. What is the value? It's the total number of shares that we're selling times the current quoted price of that stock symbol. Okay, so after that, we have successfully sold the shares. We then can flash sold and we will redirect to our index. So notice that if I try to sell one share of GOOG, it will bring me back to my index.html. And oh, over the course of this video, I have made $1.39. Okay, so we have one thing left, and that is history. So history is kind of similar to index, but instead of summing, so if we happen to have purchased three separate instances of Google over the course of history, we don't want to sum those for history like we do in index. We want to display each of those individual rows to say we bought one unit of Google at this time. We bought one unit of Google at this time. We bought 10 units of Google at this time. Looking at our history function, it's very short. So similar to index, there's no form ever being submitted to history. We're only ever accessing this as a GET request. So what do we want to do? We want to select everything from the transactions table where the user ID is equal to my current user ID. So unlike an index where I need to perform this grouping by symbol to sum the shares, don't need to do that for history. So just select all of the transactions this user has performed. Then I can ultimately render those transactions. I just pass it to render template and we call it transactions. So what does history.html look like? Well, looking over at history.html, we see something that is very similar to our index.html. So we have this header row. What will this end up looking like in the browser? Well, if I look over at my history, I see this header row. I see that I purchased Google at this time, and I see that I sold Google at this time. One share of Google at this time was purchased, one share was sold because it's a negative value at this time. So we see that our header happens to have symbol shares price transacted. Transacted, remember, is the timestamp for that transaction. And this time we happen to not have a footer. And then the body of our table is all of our transaction information. So looping over all of our transactions, each of those is going to be another separate row. In each of those rows, we have the transaction symbol, transaction shares, the transaction price. We use our USD function to format it nicely, and then the timestamp. So no complicated logic here. We're just taking any given transaction and displaying the information. And that's it for history. This ultimately looks like this. My name is Rob Bowden, and this was Finance.